Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be back here on the Gold Coast of New Zealand, where the sun continually shines even through the rain. It's a delight to be with you this morning. We've been here living in Tauranga for about 4 years now, but the first couple were here, but the last two we've been helping out with the North Fellowship in Mokoroa. And how many people haven't been to see the North Church yet in Mokoroa? You guys have got to get out, you know. Great coffee shops, and all, don't all come at once, but, you know, it's a great setup. And we've got a brand new building up there, blessed with a library and great facilities, and the children's groups are growing, et cetera, et cetera. So you're most welcome, and I trust that today will be a day where I just feel like it's been on my heart all week that, you know, we've been analysing last year and you know, I get reports from the different fields still. I'm not the director any longer. I stepped away 4 years ago, but I got this role of honorary president and do what I can to add value to the organisation while based here in New Zealand. And when we're not travelling, we're helping out at North, and we have a connect group in Bethlehem, and we do what we can to just stir people up, make them aware that these are great days. Can I say it again? These are great days. I tell you, there's never been, the kingdom of God seems to expand during these crazy times. And we've got to have eyes to see what God's doing. And we've got to buy into his plan. And so my message today is get with the program. We've got to get with the program because God's got a program. And I want to share by starting with some verses from Psalm, a couple of verses from Psalm 86, verse 9. It says, "All nations that you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord, and they will bring glory to your name." Now, I've got an imagination. I use it quite often when I'm reading the Word of God, just trying to picture what that scenario or that scene must have been like. And if I hadn't been like a fly on the wall to imagine the reaction to some of the situations in which you read about in the Word of God. And I'm sort of imagining the nations coming, all nations, not one or two being left out. All nations are going to come and worship God. And you and I are going to be amongst it. And there's going to be all these different colors and creeds and a sense of people's cultures being reflected. And those who have, if you like, even if you've never left New Zealand, you can have an inheritance in the nations of the world. You can. Your prayers have an effect. Your giving has an effect. Going on a short-term team or something like that has an effect. And sometimes my imagination says, when we get to heaven, we're going to identify people that we help bring into the kingdom of God. And there's going to be a lot of bear hugs. There's going to be a lot of joy and satisfaction because, wow, look, we sowed into this particular part of the world and look at the harvest. Others may have added to it and watered it and brought in the harvest, but the fact is we all have this great opportunity to participate in God's program. Now, last year has been a tough year, no doubt about it, and the issues and the problems and the virus is very real. Yesterday, we got an email from Mozambique, and the wife of one of a German couple that have been with us for a number of years, a former lawyer who just turned his back on his career and believed the call of God to a very, very inhospitable part of Mozambique with his four children. And he's come down with COVID and his eldest daughter. And you kind of think, you know, okay, when you hear a story over there and over there, it's not related to you. You kind of, oh, that doesn't sound good. But now this brings it home. And he's not playing around. He's got it. And so, you know, we're praying. We're obviously doing what we can from a distance, but we're wanting to mobilize a prayer force like never before because we're going to, missions is very, very different to how it's been. Global missions, as we have known it, came to a sudden halt last March or thereabouts. Mary and I were in America on our way to Mexico, and our host in America had some friends in Mexico, and they were phoning down saying, what do you think? Is it okay for John and Mary to come down? Will they be able to get out? Because America was saying, we're going to close the border anytime soon. And so they said, well, they made no problem coming here. Life's just carrying on as normal. But they may not get back. And we had to get back to America to get back here. And so we prayed and we talked to our hosts in Mexico as well. And they said, you need to make your own decision. So wisdom prevailed and says, turn around, come home. And we got home two days before the New Zealand lockdown and the rest of you joined us after 2 days. And it was a good decision. It was a right decision. And there's still a heap of people trying to come home. International travel is not going to be the same again for a long time. We've all had our wings clipped. There's a bunch of missionary people here in this fellowship. And we've all had our wings clipped. And by the way, if you are new to this church and, you know, you're kind of like, who's here? We have a breakfast every 6 weeks or so called the Kevra Fellowship. And it's for people that are engaged in missions at various levels. And so you might be a missionary who's home at the moment and you can't get back onto the field or, you know, you're whatever your situation is, you're most welcome. So come and see us afterwards. We'll let you know where the next breakfast is. And we just get together and say, what do you see happening in your little corner of the world? What's God saying through your organization and your ministry? So we can encourage one another because we can't get out. But God's got a plan. And we've got to get with the plan. And so we make adjustments. And we've got to continually make adjustments. And it says in Psalm 33, verse 11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. And friends, God was not caught out by this COVID-19. It's not like he didn't see it coming or he knew it wasn't coming. The fact is, he's allowed it, it's happening, and it's got a purpose. And we're part of a global village. We're in this beautiful country here, tucked away at the bottom of the earth. And we are, in some ways, a little bit complacent at the moment because we're okay. Life's good. I've been on holiday in Northland on the beach and, you know, trying to catch fish. And, you know, lots of shellfish around and just go out for a walk whenever you want it and go out for dinner, go and have a great time. But not the rest of the world. And some of the places where we're not even hearing about so many nations. We're not hearing. We're hearing about the big nations, but we're not aware of what's going on in the small nations. And so today, I just want to sort of open our eyes to some of the things that God is doing around the world because COVID-19 has not stopped the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you can't lock him up. You can't handcuff him. He's free. He's doing what he's wanting to do. And he's saying, will you work with me? Will you partner with me? Because I'm going to do something new, something different. And we've got to sign up. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church, by the way. Worshippers. Missions exists because worship doesn't. And in many countries today, there's no worship of God because they don't know him. Many of us here today are waiting for the return of Jesus. We actually think it's a good time if he comes back now, maybe even before the end of the service. It says he'll come suddenly, you know. And, you know, we've all got our little theological ideas of when it could and couldn't happen. But the fact is, it says he will come unexpectedly. He will come when everyone's getting on with life on their surfboards, you know, riding their bikes, whatever. He will come. But you know, there are 2 billion people that don't even know he came the first time. 2 billion. And the fact is, many organizations, many ministries, even represented here in this church, are realizing that we are on a roll right now to get amongst these people groups that have never, never, ever, ever heard the name Jesus Christ before. And it's fantastic because there's almost like many organizations and ministries are linking arms today. And they're saying, let's do this thing together. And hundreds of people groups have been engaged every year with the gospel and had their eyes open to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And boy, when they have their eyes open, especially when they've been worshipping a wrong god, or they've been bound up in some sort of occultish ways, and they get set free, they express freedom like we've never seen it. Now, our freedom is we take it for granted. It's just something that we have all the time, and after a while, you don't know what it's like not to have it. But these people, they might walk around like you and I, but they don't have the freedom that we have had and we have. We want to be effective as a church. And this church has got a heritage in missions. And it's a heritage that I believe it will increase because God's calling people. And I pray even today as I speak, I mightn't even know your name, but the Holy Spirit knows your number. And he's got your name. And he knows your address. And he knows where he's led you to this point in time. And there may be this awakening, this stirring to say, I don't know what I can do for God, but I want to do something significant with my life. I want to change my world. I want to have a part to play in influencing my world for Jesus Christ. Because God's got a plan. And we need to get with it. The story goes of Bruce and Karen Glover were doing some handiwork at home, some renovation work, and Bruce is, being very good at it. He was nailing some timber, and he was on one occasion, he had the nail, and he took a mighty swing at it, and he missed, and he got his thumb. He got it real bad, and he's jumping around, and he's not in a good shape, and Karen says, hey, we need to rush you to the hospital. This is not looking good. So they get in the car and she drives him to the hospital and he gets out and he goes in and he comes into the main entrance and there's two doors. One says illness and the other says injury. So he goes through the door of injury. And as he goes through that door, he comes to two other doors, major, minor. So he goes through minor still holding his thumb. Then he comes to two more doors, internal, external. So he's holding his thumb, goes through external. Then he finally comes to two more doors. One says cash, one says credit. He goes through credit and finds himself out in the car park. Karen says, that was quick. Did they help you? He says, no, but are they organized? We don't want to be so organized that we're not effective. You know, we can have all that the world's impressed with, but if we're not effective, if we're not helping people, if we're not even saying, what could I do to make an inquiry rather than sit back and say, well, if God wants me, he knows my address, he knows where I am, he can come and tap me on the shoulder. We've got to actually move towards God. We've got to be proactive. Isaiah 55, 8-9, it's very familiar verses, but it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's basically saying you and I don't think like God. Guess who's going to have to change? Often when I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, show me what you're doing. Help me to see what you're saying. I want to have eyes to see. I just don't want to say, God, save the Chinese. God, save India. You know, I want to know where he's working. And I want to partner with him in that. And I may not be able to physically go, but I want to find a way to participate in his program so that he can look on me and sort of say, I can count on him. He's available. I can wake him up in the middle of the night and he won't complain because he's available. He's alert. He's part of my program. And today, friends, we're living in times of political, social, economic, religious upheaval, in case you didn't know. It's the worst of times. It's the best of times. In times of chaos, the gospel finds many open and receptive hearts. And that's what our people, and I know have no doubt other organizations, they hear it, their people are saying, new opportunities are opening up that we did not imagine. We did not anticipate. Therefore, we need to see things from God's perspective. We need to be passionate about what he's passionate about. The heart of God is for the lost. And if we want to touch the heart of God, we've got to get a burden for the lost. I've been up on many altar calls. And when they preach on evangelism or compassion or having a heart, you know, it talks about, I think it's in Ezekiel, can't remember the chapter, verse 19 anyway, but or 11. God's taking a heart of stone and transplanting it with a heart of flesh. And I'm saying often to God, Lord, take any coldness out of me, that life is just about me. It's all around me. Lord, take the hardness, the coldness of the stone out and give me a heart of flesh. Help me to feel what you feel. Help me to pray with a passion, with a burden, with a desire. Because, Lord, I need to change. Otherwise, I'm ineffective for you. I want to get with your program, Lord. Give you some insight and understanding. There a survey was done in 2019 of the top 20 nations where Christianity around the world was growing the fastest. And it wasn't New Zealand in the top 20. America certainly wasn't there, and a lot of Western nations weren't there. But the interesting fact is, of the top 20, 11 of them were Islamic nations, where Christianity is doing very well, thank you very much. A lot of persecution, a lot of troubles, a lot of issues, but people are having revelations of Jesus Christ. People are beholding the Lord in ways that they don't have to say, who are you? They know who he is. When he stands at the foot of your bed. Now, I've mixed with people. I've had people on some of my teams who have just said, you know, that they've met such people who have had Jesus has come into their bedroom. Jesus has come into their kitchen. They know who he is. Take Iran, for example. It's a troublesome nation. Gives Israel a really, really hard time. Well, in the last 3 years, it's been estimated that Christianity in Iran has grown by 10,000 new believers a year in Iran. Indonesia, not too far from us, on our doorstep, so to speak, the largest Islamic nation in the world, very, very large archipelago. There are some 26 major ethnic groups in Indonesia, major ones. There are a heap of others where they have their own language, their own culture, different ways of cooking fish, you know, the way they dress, just their way. But they're Indonesians and they speak Bahasa Indonesian, but they also speak other dialects. And there are 26 of them. And our youngest son was attending a church planting program in Bali, and a closed door thing. And our friend Jim Yost from Urianjaya, Jim, anyone ever seen MacGyver? Yeah. Well, he's MacGyver from Urianjaya. He got saved in the hippie era. And he's got blonde hair down to his shoulders and that. He's got three blonde daughters. And, some of them have got the markings of their tribe that they're working with. But Jim's just a real go-getter. Our ministry, our people have been blessed by him a lot. Anyway, he was saying in this closed-door meeting that of those 26 major ethnic groups in Indonesia, each one now has a vibrant house church movement. Each one, and they're led by their own people. This is exciting. It's almost like these bushfires are starting to pop up. And then without our permission, God's doing what he wants to do. And he's saying to us, will you get with the program? You know, we're not meant to sit up in the stands. We're meant to get out on the field and participate with what God is doing. And he's inviting all of us. And don't let age say it's too late. If you've got air in your lungs, you can pray. Some of us may lose jobs this year, but don't let the system affect your spiritual activity with God. If one door closes, God is able to open another door. It's called the favor of God. And we need to hang out with people who will inspire us to believe God's not finished with me yet. And unemployment was not on my agenda. Therefore, I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to believe if he can open a door in Iran and Indonesia and parts of Africa, he can open a door for me here in New Zealand. In the Middle East, there's heaps and heaps of Syrian refugees from the civil war that broke out. And how long have I got? Oh, it doesn't work. That's good. And we've got an Egyptian couple that just do a fantastic job working in the Middle East. Anyway, the wife, Sausan, is a pharmacist by profession. And she led a small team over to Lebanon, into the Syrian camps there. And she met this lady who she just said, you know, amongst all the people she met, this woman just glowed. It's almost like she had makeup on like no one else had. You know, she just, what wasn't makeup, it was just the glory of the Lord was on her. She shone. And so Sausan got to talk with her and found out after 15 months in the camp, someone introduced her to Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of activity, Christian activity in some of these camps as well. Anyway, cut a long story short, she is a transformed woman. She just wants everybody to know that Jesus is truly the Son of the living God. And so she picked up the phone one day, was able to get a phone connection back to Syria to tell her parents, believing they would be excited about her news. And they were disgusted, absolutely disgusted with her testimony. You are embarrassing us. We are disowning you. And then the brother picked up the phone. He could hear it as well. And he says, I'm going to do everything I can to come and kill you. You're a disgrace to the family. And so she's telling Sausan this. And Sausan says to her, so what are you going to do? Your brother's on the way. She says, I have no fear. I'm just going to reach as many people as I can for Jesus, and my life is in God's hands. What an attitude. What an attitude. And she's still alive. I tell you, when we trust the Lord with our lives and we believe there is something better and bigger than what we're experiencing, friends, God's going to open our eyes. He's going to open our hearts to know that there is something exciting that can be done. Isaiah 48:3, he says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. So he's declaring, he said things in the past. And then he says, the second part of that verse, suddenly I moved and those things came to pass. And I have in my heart this day, I can't imagine how it's going to happen. So I'm not going to let my imagination direct me as to how I should believe and pray. But I have this sense in my heart that God's going to do some suddenlies this year. It could be some of my heathen relatives that are going to get saved. Maybe yours too. It may be circumstances that's like a Mount Maunganui obstacle right in front of me and I don't know what to do about it. And God's saying, I'm going to make a way. God's going to do some suddenlies. He says, I've declared things, I've spoken things, and the thing about the promises of God is they are yea and amen. You can bank on them. And so if you've had some encouragement, some words, and some blessings over your life, then God is going to fulfill them in his way, in his timing. I like what Shannon talked about with the woman touching Jesus' garment. 12 years, she was looking for healing. Suddenly, it was her day. And friends, there's going to be some suddenlies this year. I had somebody come up to me in the North Church, just a visitor, just sort of saying I was thinking about getting something medically attended to, and they just sort of said, they knew nothing of the situation. They just said, the Lord says, don't go for an operation. He's going to heal you. I'm thinking, okay, wow, I'll take that, you know, some extra days off, you know, like, wow, good, great. And so God's going to do some suddenlies. And we need to be open to that. Just quickly, just to share a couple of more suddenlies. This German couple that Martin Schumann, that's a good name, German name, isn't it? Schumann. I don't think I give it justice in pronouncing it, but that's how we call him, Shuey. And he was where they were working in northern Mozambique. He led this young guy to the Lord. Didn't lead too many people in the first year or so to the Lord, but he had this young disciple called Inacio. And Inacio, every week he met with Martin, and he did discipleship training of Inacio. Inacio would go back to his mother and brother and tell them everything that he had learned through Martin about the Word of God. This happened for 2 years. The family, the mother and the younger brother, unresponsive. One day after the 2 year period, Inacio comes back from his discipleship training and tells them exactly what has heard, but he found his mother had been ill and has been ill for a few days. And she listened, no response. And then she said to the younger brother, "Go to the witch doctor and get something because I'm sick, I need help." And Inacio just heard himself say, "No, don't go. Let me pray for you first." And so she didn't object. He prayed in the name of Jesus. And it was like Peter Payne praying for his mother-in-law. She got out of bed straight away, totally healed. She had such an encounter and a healing with the Lord. The younger brother couldn't, you know, sort of say it wasn't true because he had been home most of the time. She'd been sick as sick. Anyway, cut a long story short, she and the younger brother, with Inacio's help, have helped reach 11 different villages with the gospel for Jesus Christ. Tell you. 2 years. 2 years just telling her and telling her. It was like water off a duck's back, you know, not getting through. And then suddenly, it's God's time. Would you stand with me, please? The musicians are here. That means time's up. And I just got to my first paragraph. Anyway, let me just finish with a couple of quotes here. And because Matthew 24:14 is our yardstick of our organization. It's a verse that says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And that word nations, of course, is ethnic groups. So friends, the fulfillment of this great commission that Jesus talked about is linked very much to the return of Christ. When Jesus comes back, it's mission accomplished. And if he's coming back for a mature church, that's you and I, not a building, it's us, a mature church. But a church cannot be perfected or made mature unless it's participating in God's plan and God's purposes. You and I are not going to be spiritually mature by being out on the left field or the right field or in isolation. We've got to be part of God's plan and God's purpose. That's how maturity will come about. And that's what the local church is about. It's to help us to participate in different levels in order to bring that maturity that Jesus says, that's what I'm coming back for. So let's get with the program. Let's get with what he's about to do and he's saying in order to glorify his name. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what your careers are, but I just want to encourage you. Marry them into the kingdom of God. Make your going to work tomorrow, if some of you have to do that. I don't, but you do. And if you have to go to work tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to work tomorrow for you. I'm going to bless your kingdom. I'm going to work, and it may not be my lifetime job, but this is my job right now. I'm going, and it's going to be part of your kingdom. I want a vision for what I do for your kingdom's sake. Let's get serious with God, and he'll get serious with us. And you watch how he opens our eyes and brings this book alive. Read it. Let it wash you. Let it get in there. Let it be a nugget of encouragement to us. If there's any here this morning that you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not with the program. You know, you've heard about him. You know about him. You've heard, you know, your stories and stuff, but, you know, you're inquisitive, but you've never made a commitment to serve him, to say, "Lord, here I am. I need a makeover. I need to change. Life's only about me. I want it to be about you. And I ask you to come into my life and become my Lord and Savior." If there's anyone here, would you give me the honor of praying for you? just inviting Jesus with you into your heart. You've never done it before. Anyone? God bless you. Yeah, thank you. All right. In case there's shyness represented here today, we're just going to pray a prayer and ask you to repeat it after me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. I ask you to forgive me, to take away all my sin. Wash me clean, O Lord. And I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you, Lord. And I want to bring you pleasure with my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here today. I just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you are the stirrer. You are the Holy Spirit. You're the wind. You are the wind of God. Blow upon us, Lord. Even when we leave this building, blow upon us. Lord, don't let us sort of just park what you're saying to us, park it aside. But, Lord, help us to make a response today. We want to get with the program, Lord, your program. And we want to be effective, Lord. We don't want to be impressive. We want to be effective for your kingdom. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.